Before I forget it, Jeff, thank you for those wonderful songs. We have sung the sermon, and now I'll see if I can preach it. Good morning, servants of God. I am God's servant, serving you and serving Jesus, the greatest servant who ever lived. As you may have discovered, today we're going to talk about walking with God. I'm confident that those of you who are God's children, and I trust all of you are aware that you can walk with God. But I'd like to intensify that thought this morning by looking at some scriptures that will help us to understand how we can and do walk with God. I don't know about you, but I know that there are at least three of us here this morning who have been so close to death's door that we were within one heartbeat, and we're here. And the latest is our beloved Mark Otter. Thank God that he is here. I'm so glad to see him and to know how good he's doing. And I don't have any stories to tell you, but I will just tell you that not long ago, when Mark learned that he was to have heart surgery, that I started to describe what happens when you have heart surgery, and Mark said, "No!" And I understood. Thank God for the extension of our lives. Thank God for allowing us to walk with Him. I noticed in my outline this morning as I began to review that the first scripture that I'd written down didn't really... I thought, where did I get that? Well, it was only two chapters off. So, but starting in the book of Genesis, chapter 3 and verse 8, we find Adam and Eve in the garden. And the Bible says, and they heard the sound, voice, or whatever. The translators have trouble, so they put a note out there. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Remember, they're in the Garden of Eden, that perfect garden with just one tiny exception. God said, do not eat of one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you do, you will die. Now, I think all Bible students know the story. And in lieu of time, which we do not have enough of to go through all of this, I just want to stimulate your mind so that you will understand that God was spending time with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. But once they disobeyed God, they became aware and they hid themselves. They had been deceived by the devil. And verses 9 through 17 of that chapter, God 9, then the Lord God called Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" Did you ever play hide and seek with a 2-year-old? And you knew exactly where they were. But you said, "Wonder where they are." And they were tickled at that. Can you imagine Adam and Eve thinking they could hide from God? Well, they're trying. So he said, "I hear your voice. I heard your voice in the garden. And I was afraid because I was naked. And I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "Ah, look at this. The woman that you gave me, she gave it to me and I ate." Then God said to the woman, "What have you done?" She said, "It was the serpent. He deceived me and I ate." Do you know what an excuse is? An excuse is the skin of a reason stuffed full of lies. Each of these are trying to blame the other rather than take responsibility. And then God punished them all. And man is the one who is told in verse 17, "Then to Adam he said, 'Because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return.'" What an awful end to a perfect relationship. They are able to be in the presence of God. They can walk with God. But now that sin has entered, they are not able anymore to be in the presence of God. For many years, Genesis 3:15 did not seem to me to be the promise that now I understand that it is. But God said, "I'm coming back to mete out punishment to the evil and to bring a Savior." We spent most of our time this morning in our worship already in looking at that. It is so important for us to realize that we can walk with God. Now, before the flood came, we have a man by the name of Enoch. In Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24, the Bible says Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. You remember him, don't you? He lived to be older than me. After he begat Methuselah, Enoch walked with God. Listen to this. He walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. That means more and more to me. Recently, on this trip that we praise God that we made well over 3,000 miles, and it wasn't necessary. But I saw a lady that I've known for many, many years who is just a little bit older than me. Not much. But she looked at me as we were talking and she said, "You know, when God gets ready for me, I'd like to just go to sleep." And I said, "Me too." Paul talks about us in the book of Romans not wanting to be unclothed, that's death, but clothed upon, which our house with our house which is from heaven. But here's Enoch in the book of Genesis walking with God, and suddenly he disappears. No one knows where he is because God took him. The word translated is a good word. He moved him from one state to another. And then this morning, as we were listening, and it was read in our presence, from John chapter 1. And I teach the book of John in saying, God came back. God couldn't stay with Adam and Eve because of their sin. Sin continually separated man from God. Now we like to spend a lot of time in talking about what it meant for Enoch to walk with God. I think most of us understand that. But it's not like we can touch God with our physical hands, see Him with our physical eyes, smell Him, taste Him. But He's there. He's here. I think we have a hard time realizing that God is in our midst today. Whether we want Him to be or not, God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. Now Hebrews 11:5 talks about Enoch, if you want to look at that a little bit more. But in John chapter 1, the Bible says, the second Genesis of the Bible, in the beginning was the Word, L-O-G-O-S, a person, God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Thanks to our reader this morning for reading the version that he wrote. That he read, and I'm quoting from the New King James. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and nothing was made that has been made. Listen again. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness. Now watch this one closely. And the darkness did not, the Bible says, comprehend it. That's really not the word. It's so simple. If we had a candle and lit it and set it on that table and turned all the light out that we have that's so wonderful, that candle would not go out. Because darkness cannot put out the light. And so the idea with this is, and the light, Jesus, shined in the darkness, and the darkness was not able to put it out. Now you remember that Jesus walked the face of the earth. In verses 14 through 18 of John chapter 1, and the Word, notice the capitalization again, the Logos, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And of his fullness we have all received," listen, "and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth," coordinated conjunction, "and grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." This is where I would like to have more time, but you, if you have the knowledge of the Bible, remember John 14, where Jesus said, "Have you been with me so long, you have not seen the Father? He who has seen me has seen the Father." God came back. There were those who walked with Jesus. I often think I would have liked to have been there. It was not an easy time. But Jesus walked the face of the earth. And it's so important for us to realize that he was walking the face of the earth. In Colossians 2:9, tells us that in him, in Christ, all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in bodily form. Now here's God. God devised, planned, executed a way for us to walk with God. We can do that today. I'm telling you that if you're walking with God and you know you're walking with God, your language will be a little different, maybe. Your attitude toward others will be different. Do you recognize that it is imperative that we walk with God? In First John chapter 1 and verse 7, you hear me say it often, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, so are we not together then? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. Walking with Jesus. Walking with God. Sadly, there keeps occurring in my mind a preacher friend who had heart surgery about the same time that I did. He had his heart surgery in the VA hospital in Washington State. And it was botched. He did not live. I was never able to convince my friend, that man, that you could actually talk to Jesus. He didn't believe you could talk to Jesus. And talk to God. You couldn't talk to Jesus. So you certainly couldn't sing just a little talk with Jesus. I think that's sad that we don't realize that we can and do and should communicate with God. You know, this sermon has just traveled over 3,000 miles. In my head and on paper, and part of it's been no telling where. You didn't need to know that, but I wanted to tell you anyway. But I'm finishing, okay? God, who at various times, Hebrews 1 says, spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by or through, is the better word, His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. Listen. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Where'd Jesus go when He went up from the earth? You remember the clouds concealed Him from their sight. Did you think Jesus just kept going? Maybe He went to Pluto. It only took our little device 9.5 years to get there. We forget that God doesn't live in time. He's not confined to time. God was there. And the Revelation writer tells us that as He was looking, the sky rolled up like a scroll out of the way. Everything disappeared. And God said there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Okay, so they just discovered planet number 9, right? I'm killing time here. Not killing time. I've already killed all of it. I'm just trying to quit. I'm not done. I never get done. I'm just quitting. I hope that you walk with God. Verse 15 of 1 Peter chapter 3, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. What a wonderful world it would be if we lived like that. And if we walk with God, then we can do that. Remember, God loved us so much, there is absolutely no way that we can completely define and understand how much there was of it. I give God the praise and the glory. I'm so glad to be here today. If I told you all the things that have gone on with my body, you would figure I was already dead. But I'm here. The old computer works slower, but it still works if you give it time. I pray that you are walking with God every day. I have some more scriptures here if you need more of them, but looking at you, and let me close with saying to you, I just absolutely am so amazed and so pleased that you listen. You have listened wonderfully well. And then it is God who will help you to use what I have given you in these few minutes to be able to walk with Him. And won't it be wonderful when we no longer will be enshrouded in a robe of flesh, but will have a new body like His when we see Him coming and live with Him forever. Praise God for that. If you're not ready and you know what you need to do, we're here waiting for you. If you don't know what to do and you'd like to study, there's no excuse. Remember what an excuse is. Adam and Eve had them. And we're still using the same ones. We know it's the women's fault. Sorry, it slipped out. If you need to respond in any way, please come while we stand and sing our song.